You're listening to Tucson Tech Talk with your host, Aaron Moss, on Tucson Business Radio X.
Welcome to Tucson Tech Talk with Aaron and Sherry. Good to have you with us. My name is Aaron Moss, your host. I'm the owner of Computer Doctor of Tucson. Our co-host, Sherry Barker, took the week off. Tucson Tech Talk is the show where we talk about technology and business and how the two affect each other. We are broadcasting from the Tucson Business Radio X studio here at the Stewart Title Building on Broadway. And we want to welcome all of our listeners on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. And we hope to encourage you to listen live every second Monday of the month. Questions and comments are always appreciated. The theme of the show today is technology in cosmetology, and we have two experts in the industry in our studio today. First, we have the CEO of YES Enterprises, LLC, which owns Waba Hair and Beauty Supply and Lee Store. This organization is the oldest and largest hair store in Southern Arizona since 1999. Waba Hair caters to people who need and seek hair, providing Tucson with a wide variety of wigs, hair extensions, and trendy braiding hair options. The company's nonprofit organization, Waba Cares Foundation, is a functioning and licensed 501c organization committed to helping other struggling nonprofit organizations. They have put on the Moda Provocator, which is a fashion show that was featured in Arizona Fashion Week, where Vivica A. Fox and Tempest DuJour were some of the featured judges. Also involved in other events such as Battle of the Salons. All these events benefited the Southern Arizona AIDS Foundation and Arizona Oncology of Tucson. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Sean Cho to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. And next, our next guest here, we have Cindy O'Connell. She has been in the beauty industry for over 40 years. She was a Mary Kay consultant in Massachusetts for over 15 years and 5 years in Florida. She had moved to Montana, where she became a beauty control consultant for 5 years. And after moving to Tucson in 2002, she obtained a position with West Coast Beauty Supply, selling over 1,000 different products to 900 salons in the Tucson area. And after making a decision to have her own company, she developed a mineral makeup and skincare line 10 years ago. Along the way, she added shape and wear products to her portfolio, and she's passionate about helping women feel good about themselves inside and out naturally. Her favorite way to share her products and knowledge is to do workshops and speak to women about how you can stay looking young naturally with proper foods and products good for the skin and body. And she has a spa room in her home, and she gives complimentary facials and makeup tips. Her motto is to make women feel 10 pounds thinner, 10 years younger after they spend time with her. From Bella Beauty Solutions, please welcome Cindy O'Connell.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay. So technology and cosmetology. So by the way, this was actually my co-host's idea, Sherry, who's not here. So I'm stuck here, a tech guy talking to us about cosmetology. A lot of people think that, you know, that there's not a whole lot of technology, but if you think about it from the business perspective, technology actually does involves pretty much. If you think about how things are manufactured, the chemical process, how things affect with our bodies. Okay, I know that Cindy, you must have a lot of knowledge about. We had talked on the phone about toxins. Tell us a little bit about toxins as far.
Well, actually, I've done a lot of research on that, and I give workshops on being very careful about what you put on your skin, because after 26 seconds, once it goes penetrates through your skin, it is in your bloodstream. And it's definitely with European cosmetic lines, they ban over 1,000 different chemicals. In the United States, they ban maybe 7 or 8. So I make sure that my clients know to be careful what they buy over the counter and always look for what is inside what they put on their skin.
Okay. So why are you so passionate about chemical-free products?
Well, I am surrounded by cancer in my family. Mm. Cancer is very prevalent. I've already lost two sisters to lung cancer, and I have another one battling cancer. And I truly believe that we're surrounded by it, and it's a lot to do with what we eat and what we put on our skin, what we put in our bodies. So I really, really want to help women age gracefully, naturally.
Okay. Are you, if you don't mind me asking, are you a cancer survivor yourself?
No, thank God. I'm good. Okay. I am good.
Okay.
Yes. I've been doing this for a long time, knowing what I have done and put on my skin or what I've actually used. And I eat right. That's what I teach women at workshops, how to eat right, what foods to eat for antioxidants, what products you can use on your skin will that even if it penetrates your into your bloodstream, it's safe. It's natural. And so I've been doing it a long time. So I think I've actually created an insurance for myself by doing this. And I want other women to do the same.
Okay. I can relate to that. My brother, we just lost our brother back in September. He was diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma in March of 2018. And he battled it out for the last year and a half. And he went through, he was dragged through the mud. He received treatment after treatment each week, and we saw him deteriorate throughout for the last 18 months, and it was terrible for our like us and our family. So I can, he passed at 44 years of age, 44 years young. I want to say
who was this again?
My oldest brother.
Okay. And was he the one that started your business?
Yes.
He was your business partner, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. My parents started the business, and then he took over back in 2003, and then he formed a company in 2013, and then we started expanding our branches and things of that sort. But he passed 2 months ago, and our family's still kind of recouping. My mother went through it also. She was diagnosed with. She had a cancerous tumor, and luckily we got a lot of support from family, friends, in our church, and they were able. This is 20 years ago, but she passed away back in 2009 through natural causes, and so our family has a history of cancer also. Mm-hmm. I haven't been spooked yet completely, but after my brother passed, I stopped using products that are extremely inexpensive. I do take care of myself, and I take a lot more supplements now. So I completely understand. And my girlfriend is constantly on me about not eating McDonald's 3-6 times a week.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, my wife is on my case about that too.
Yeah.
But you know, the two of you bring up a very, very good point, and that is how toxins can actually affect our health. And it's interesting that you mentioned the very, very low cost things that you put on your body that you get from, 99-cent stores. Mm-hmm. Okay. I personally won't buy toothpaste there. I won't buy deodorant there. Mm-hmm. I won't buy anything, anything that you would apply to your body. Okay, I'll get a garbage can there. I'll get I'll get like a little phone stand or something, but nothing that I would apply to my body, only because there's so many things that are happening. I think there are even some dollar stores that even sell makeup products and facial skincare products. Yeah. And there was just something on the news just the other day about how much. These manufacturers, they give them a good price for resale and retail, but the quality is just not there. These are like untested products, things that, the label says that there's testing and certifications, but they're just there to, it is a cause for concern. And, what are some things that people should look for or make sure of? For example, from the retail side, when people go into the Waba Hair Supply and they're looking at skincare products or makeup, do they ask questions?
Yes. So we employ, every location has a certified licensed cosmetologist who knows what they're talking about firsthand. So when you have an idea of a beauty supply, everyone has a stereotypical idea of what a beauty supply is supposed to look like. Typically Asian-owned, someone kind of grumpy behind the counter, and all the products kind of just hidden away from consumers. So back in 2013, 14, we reinvented that idea. So all our products are out there. All our cosmetics is cruelty and they are cruelty free, and they're Korean based, meaning they're manufactured from Korea, not from China, and okay. not dishing on China manufactured products because we use everything from China.
Yeah, but they have some good stuff that
they do yeah. here and there. Sometimes when they don't break, but Korean based cosmetics have been kind of renowned these days.
Okay,
and I don't know if I did not know. Cosmetics is not my expertise, so I can't. I want to say our products are pretty good, especially for the price. But one thing I can say for the products that are sold at our beauty supplies is they're all googly. They're all well reviewed and received on Google. And
that's good.
I do 100% of the purchasing for all the products, and I review them before. So not your typical 99-cent store, but we're not, you know, Sephora or MAC things like large like cosmetic franchises like that sort. But we're getting up there. We're slowly moving up.
Okay,
that's good.
If you can tell us how you relate, you versus, let's say, the big chains like the Ultas, like what can somebody expect if they go to your store versus the other?
Opposed to Sephora, we can't compete on cosmetics because we're not cosmetically known. We sell hair, and hair is our specialty.
Hair.
So if one of the things that we preach at our training seminars or for new associates is that we don't sell products that customers don't need. They came in for a reason. Mm-hmm. And most of our locations are independent buildings. So they're not just walking around the plaza and they pop in. They come in for a reason. Mm-hmm. So we don't sell them anything. We just provide what they need and they take it to the cashier and they pay and they leave. Right. So our associates know a lot more about hair mm-hmm. than any other associates from large chains. Mm-hmm. So, and we're a lot more personable.
Okay.
So would you say that the cosmetics are just a sideline to enhance what you do for people, women, with their whatever your hair extensions, your wigs, whatever? That's just more of an addition.
Yes.
So
what's great is we'll provide a wig that the trending is fantasy hair, where it's like an ombre, where it's dark on the roots and it kind of flows into like light blue or like a light lavender.
Just say it, anime.
Yeah.
Say
it. Anime wigs. We'll have like $1.99, $2.99 eyeshadow that kind of complements that. Mm-hmm. So little things that kind of accentuates like your look for mm-hmm. anything that you're looking to do mm-hmm. or that look that you're trying to achieve for that day or that night. Mm-hmm. We have products there, and eyelashes are killing it. Mm. Eyelash extensions are is there. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the newest and the biggest thing right now are eyelash extensions.
They come out with a different style. And some of the lashes are about an inch and a half long. They float out of your face.
Yes.
They're longer than most people's nose. They're just kind of sit there flapping.
And what happens when you blink?
blink slowly.
They're heavy too.
How do you blink slowly?
And cautiously.
Okay.
They're not cheap.
Okay.
And they're not really comfortable either, some of them. Mm-hmm. Some of them are really heavy.
And then how do you kiss your husband when you're leaving to go on the time with your girlfriends? And
wireless kiss.
Yeah, there you go. Blow down my kiss. Yeah.
Okay, blowing kisses. So back to the hair. So can fake hair, the hair that you sell, is it, we'll just say, is it real or fake or a little bit of both?
So half and half. A lot of the wigs that we sell, they're synthetic, but they're premium synthetic fiber, which can be curled and straightened, but they can't be colored because obviously it's synthetic. Hair extensions, primarily they're human hair process, mm-hmm. so they can be curled and straightened and flat ironed and colored if they so name choose be. And we tell our customers that they can name their weave too. Because if you spend $200-$300 on a weave, I mean, I would name my weave.
So I didn't know how expensive a weave was, but. But they're not very detectable, are they?
No. Oh no. That's the point.
That's the big seller.
Yeah, that's the point.
Okay.
So you have put them on, right? You actually have someone there that puts the extensions on.
Oh, you have someone in the store that does?
We do have licensed cosmetists on hand, but we're not allowed to touch the customers.
Okay.
We can suggest and recommend if they so choose, because we're not a licensed salon and we can't we're not coated with the board.
Okay.
So we can't put any hair on them.
Okay. How did you get involved with the Battle of the Salons? What's that all about?
So since we do provide a lot of braiding hair and like false hair for salons, we were approached by the founder a couple years ago, and they asked if we would sponsor the salons, because any time that an event takes place here in Tucson, the salon owners and the salon stylists, they all come out of pocket for their own products,
right,
which is great exposure. But if you're – I've owned and operated a couple salons here in town too, so I understand the struggle. So we reached out to the salon and said, hey, you're participating in this. How about we'll comp you this much credit into the store, so come pull all your supplies. And just when you're thinking about – when you want to say something good about us, you know, put our name in there.
That's nice.
That's kind of like what we've done, and that's how we got involved.
Mm-hmm.
And then our nonprofit took it over, and we put it on back in 2018.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So how did that go? So people are battling. Like how do they battle exactly?
It's straight avant-garde. If you don't know the term avant-garde, it's flamboyant, crazy, mystical.
I have seen
just
it.
Big hair. It's like drag, but
All right.
I don't want to say drag for anyone, because drag is that's
yeah. Thank you for not saying that.
It's a different genre, and it's
okay.
The work they do is pretty dope. I don't want to use that word, but it's pretty dope. But avant-garde fashion is crazy.
It's just fashion. Mm-hmm. On steroids, like
yes.
Over and beyond.
Yes. Okay. It's and the ideas that they come up with, because they usually don't have a theme surrounding the battle.
Okay.
They'll go – last year, they had a motar made out of hair. A motar. Like the four-legged animal.
Okay.
Human, half horse.
Okay.
A motar made out of hair. It's like that.
Okay.
So kind of put that in a nutshell.
So and they take care and make things with it.
Yes.
Okay.
Amazingly on their heads.
Mm-hmm. Oh my
goodness. Really cool. I've seen several of those. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do they have a facial version of the salon battle of the salons?
No. That would be fun though.
Yeah.
What
very creative.
What is the craziest thing I guess, or event that happens in the skincare world, I guess in the makeup world?
I have never participated in anything crazy like that, but I've gone to many fashion shows where the makeup is – I love seeing all the different things they do with the makeup and mm-hmm. the colors and how they implement it, and it matches the outfit perfect, and it's mm-hmm. actually an extension of the outfit.
Yes.
You understand that. And so – but no, I've never I can't do that. I'm not that good. I'm not as – I'm not an artist, I'm good with makeup, but not to create something so awesome mm-hmm. as avant-garde.
I'm a great critic, but for me to actually be hands-on, oh, no. God,
yeah, me
God,
neither.
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm a great critic, though.
Oh, okay.
Me too.
I've seen a lot of models, and I've seen a lot of avant-garde hair, so I can be critical, but when they ask me, can you help, and I say, that's all you. And then I step away.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and the funny thing about it is that comes into play in so many different fields. Like, for example, when my mother first saw American Idol, mm. and she listened to the terrible things that Simon Cowell would say to these people. Now, Simon Cowell, he is not a singer, but he is the worst critic that mm-hmm. is out there, mm-hmm. and he says some of the most terrible things. You know, he has so many words that can drag out of my mouth to tell you how awful that was. You know, but you know, a lot of people agree with him. You know, but he can't sing, so mm-hmm. you know, some people don't like it where people are a critic, but then they can't do the thing that they're criticizing.
Mm. Yeah.
So you know, it's funny that you can. You know, me, I'm like that with cars. I can diagnose a car very easily, but to actually go under there and change the shocks, I can't do it. I know the shocks are bad. I can feel the wheel going up and down, mm-hmm. but I don't know how to change that. But you know, it's funny. You know, that just means that I know we don't want to get into aesthetics, because we talked about aesthetics. Aesthetics is a very trending topic on Google and YouTube right now. And that is the, you know, the science of beauty, of what the eye sees, and maybe like the psyche behind what people may see. You can be a very good critic, so that's like a psyche, but then there's also the technical ability to actually achieve mm. the things that you are trying to that you're trying to make beautiful, you know, and trying to match what the seeing eye of the beholder is actually trying to accomplish. So, you know, it's do you find that to be a challenge where someone is trying to go for a look that is maybe just not possible?
Yeah, well, some women will come and say, I want to look a lot younger and I want to be able to wear eyeliner, and I have to look at them and look at their eyes and look at the shape of their face, and I have to know what they're like and their personality is before I say, here, put this black eyeliner, get the cat eyes going. And they and I think that would be fabulous, but they would be not leaving my spa room looking like that. So everyone has their own idea. You know, what I want to do to them, really, I have to also work with what they will accept. I don't know how many women actually come to me and say, I just went to the counter at a department store and I went home and washed my face immediately. They made me look like a movie star. I'm not that. I live in Tucson. I'm not a movie star. I don't want to be like that. But they are, you know, that's what they think is the perfect look. And they don't take the person into consideration most of the time.
So why anti-aging as a subject in workshops? So that kind of goes along with what you were saying before about the look that people want. Okay. Is that what you do in your workshops? And maybe you can tell us a little bit more about the workshops that you do.
First of all, anti-aging is because I'm getting old. Number one problem. But I'm surrounded by a lot of friends my age. So, and you can either throw on a whole lot more makeup, or you can treat the skin underneath and treat your body so that you don't have to do all of that, or you don't have to get injections and so on. If you just do all the right things internally, externally, you can grow an anti-age gracefully. I mean, I can speak for about 45 minutes and give pages and pages of all these little things that they need to do. Pomegranate juice and drinking lots of water. And we hear that all the time.
Yeah, hydration.
Hydration's huge. Staying away from certain foods. Chocolate is antioxidant. But, I mean, I go on and on with the different, you know, different ideas. I also teach them how to maintain themselves, like brushing their lips. When they brush their teeth, brush your lips, and then put moisturizer on. You're taking all that dead skin.
Brush your lips.
Brush your lips. You take all that dead skin, and then you're putting moisturizer or chapstick on, so you're moisturizing your lips, fresh skin. So yeah, that keeps your lips supple.
You're not moisturizing the dead, dry skin on the top layer.
Exactly. You're penetrating properly. I mean, that's just one. I mean, I've got hundreds.
See, I can do that.
I can do that one.
I don't see any problem with men doing it, too. I mean, there's so many different things that I just love teaching those things. I get caught, for instance, putting mascara on, how to put it on, which way to put it, and so on. I have people constantly calling me, texting me, and saying, I haven't seen you in a long time, but all I can remember is you told me to brush my lips, or you told me to do this or that. So anyway, so those are all anti-aging and natural ways of looking beautiful without having to do all the other things.
Now, you actually manufacture, you make your own products.
Yes.
Right? So tell us a little bit about that. What some of the research is done on the products, and how you develop them, and some of your inspiration of that.
Okay. I've done a lot of research. First of all, looking at what are the bad chemicals, what are the good chemicals, what's accepted, what isn't. I have a manufacturer in Florida, and all the products are done there. I research every single product they have and how they do it. You know, it's funny because I just had sun protection made, and they sent out the titanium dioxide, which is a natural sunscreen, did not dissolve properly. Back they all went. They perfected it. Now I have a new batch coming. So, I mean, I work with them constantly on that. I've got customers that really are honest with me when they get the products. I was just not really liking what I was seeing. And the things that I was seeing, they were like five times more than what I can make them for.
Right.
So, Yes. What else did you ask me again?
Well, the,
I might have gotten up.
Well, some of the inspiration behind why you wanted to, because you worked for you were a distributor for Mary Kay. You did a lot of you were involved in several different companies as you were moving throughout the country. Mm-hmm. So what was the inspiration behind why you wanted to go on your own? Were you dissatisfied with the, I guess, the pyramid scheme?
Multi-level marketing. Yes. Okay. Don't worry. I am involved in it in other ways too, but okay. My shapewear is multi-level marketing. Okay. So, yes, this is what happened. I came home one day and said, why am I selling for everybody else? Why am I selling products? And I do so well. They get most of the profit. I get a check. It's not what I need. And so I decided to create my own umbrella of products that I would present to salons, cosmetologists, estheticians. I've done all the research. I know what I'm selling. All those 900 items that, or mm-hmm. I mean, 1,000 items I sold for someone else, I don't know every single thing that was in them. Mm-hmm. I just sold things because it was a paycheck. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to do that anymore. I want to know what I'm selling.
Yeah, and you know, I'll just give you a little bit of a plug here. If you ever have an opportunity to deal directly with the person that made the thing, that is always, you're always going to have this unexplainable advantage, because if they made it, they know why they made it, and they made it to fit a person. If they're saying that this was made for you, and this is the reason why they have this line, is for people like you, you can go so much farther with that than getting anything off the counter or anything. And it may not necessarily be more expensive. It could be something more reasonable priced, but it might be something just for you. And when you're talking about putting anything, applying anything to your face, to your body, okay, you definitely want to make sure that you have it right. You also have you have something with an umbrella of products. So tell us about the – we're talking general terms, but okay. Tell us what some of your best-selling products are.
And my skincare makeup or – I mean, I have an umbrella of products. I also represent a CBD company because of my family health issues. It was the best thing that ever happened to me and my family. And then – so I do talk about that. That's in my umbrella. And when you come to my spa room, I have a lot of different things I show people and have them experience if they want to. Mm-hmm. But most of all, I sell my skincare and makeup, a lot of that.
Okay. Anything okay. in particular?
Yeah, right. Okay. I just created this cool product called Eternal Beauty Serum, and it's a serum. It's a silicone serum. And I cannot keep it in stock. It's amazing. It lasts a long time. It's a very, very reasonable price. And I just can't keep up with I keep ordering it and I keep selling it.
It's a demand. Yeah.
Yes. That's my most favorite product right now.
Okay. Any hot sellers in your store, Sean?
Lace wigs and anything with color. Anything with anime color, any animated styles, braiding hair.
Okay. All right. The nice thing about when we're talking about how technology affects business, the two of you both are running your businesses, and technology can't be avoided, in any business. So now it may not have beauty products date back to, the Egyptians, mm-hmm. when they were, they would have their own, they would paint their eyes and all kinds of things. So, the technology, the industry, we can say, is actually very old. But when we add into the technology, which we're going to talk about a little bit later on in the show, is now with social media and YouTube, there are so many makeup artists out there that are putting on their own makeup shows and things of that sort. We were actually at your store when we had visited you, me and my partner, and we saw that you even had a video of a makeup artist mm-hmm. on a big screen right behind mm-hmm. the cash register applying makeup. Mm-hmm. Now, now,
that's good.
Yeah, you can now you go on YouTube, do anything about makeup videos, and you'll see a ton of content like that. But you know, when this is technology. This is where the world is taking us.
Always fascinating and always ahead of the game. The computer doctor is Aaron Moss on Tucson Business Radio X.
This is Tucson Tech Talk with our guests, Sean from the Waba Hair Supply and Cindy from Bella Beauty Solutions. In a moment, we're going to talk about how social media, photoshopping, and YouTube have affected the Cosmo world. Back to our program with technology and cosmetology. The two of you are both involved in social media, right?
Yes.
Because now, Cindy, you have your website, mydailychoice.com/allbellabeauty. You're also on LinkedIn and Facebook. And Sean, you're on Facebook and Instagram as well.
Yes.
So what have your – from the business side of things, how have you benefit?
trends with the integration of social media, back when I first started back in 2010, trends would – when a trend would start in New York and LA and the major cities, it would take 18 months to get to Tucson. Now it's instantaneous, which is for turnaround for our inventory. It's a little bit of a headache and for us to adjust, but it's great because with technology being involved and with social media being such a big part of it, now it's a social status thing. Now, if Rihanna's wearing, I don't know if we can say a celebrity's name, but if Rihanna's wearing a certain color, mm-hmm. the next day, our distributors and the companies call and ask, we have this line coming out because
mm-hmm.
they have designers already on it. Mm-hmm. And then it gets made, and then 6 weeks later, we receive it.
Mm-hmm.
And before technology, a typical synthetic wig would run anywhere from $50 to $70, typically. Mm-hmm. But with integration with technology, you would assume that styles would depreciate,
mm-hmm.
but our actual retail prices have gone up because it's a social status thing now.
Mm-hmm.
Now everybody wants that look that they paid for.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they post it, they'll tag the company, they'll tag whoever else, their friends and anyone else that they want to see. And mm-hmm. if it gets reposted by mm-hmm. our distributors or our leading companies, then they get that much more exposure. So I believe technology has helped us, helped our retail aspect kind of mm-hmm. increase our margins, you know, per se. Mm-hmm. But
and you also sell a lot of things online.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So
our online department is pretty heavy on Amazon, eBay, and our main direct website, wildbearsupply.com.
Mm.
Now, but on those channels, we primarily sell lip glosses, which is huge on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And braiding hair.
Okay.
Those are the two key components of the online department.
Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. what about you, Cindy? Any online what do you do with your social media as far as your skincare products go?
Well, I'm always posting new things or mm-hmm. when there's sales or if I'm promoting. Look, for instance, I just put something on Facebook. I was promoting my lash enhancer. As your lashes grow.
Were they one-inch lashes?
No, they were just making your own lashes grow naturally. And so, I mean, I sold out in like 3 hours. I could not keep up with and I was really sorry I didn't have a whole lot more in stock. Mm. So that's how I communicate with all my customers. That's how I get new customers. They make comments. And then, and I have customers all over the country now because of social media.
Mm-hmm.
And I can send samples out to anyone. Please message me. And I will send you samples and then on. And I'll send them little goodies and then they'll tell their friends. And that's how that works for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mostly on Facebook, a little on LinkedIn, and I'm doing Instagram now more than I used to.
Mm-hmm. We spoke earlier on the phone just yesterday about when when women age, there's a there's something that they can get injected into their face, and what your feeling on that is.
So, oh boy!
So tell us your warnings.
I forewarned you that I might speak up on that because I'm an all-natural person, and so I totally do not support collagen and Botox. Mm-hmm. I think it's botulism put into your body. God knows. Mm-hmm. We don't know. They've been using it. We don't know how long enough what the repercussions are going to be for those that have had it in their body for 20 years. Mm-hmm. They go and get it done every 3 months. I also, okay, this, what bothers me the most is that everybody complains about, where's all this cancer coming from? Duh, hello. Mm-hmm. Think about this, right? And then secondly, I also don't like the fact that women pretend to be something they're not. Mm. That they pretend to be that young 35-year-old when they're really 50 because they pump up all their wrinkles. I do teach how to wear makeup. I do teach how to dress. And I do teach how to eat right to look your age healthy-wise and be your age, but not pretend you're some other age. Mm. So I'm glad you let me say that because that makes me crazy.
Yeah. The funny thing about this is that Botox was not originally invented. I did a little bit of research on that. Botox was not actually invented to fill in wrinkles. Oh, it was invented to stop migraines, actually. Yeah. And it was to stop the nerve endings the neuroreceptors in your head that mm-hmm. would actually stop you from actually feeling the pain.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, and then filling in wrinkles was just a side. Oh, we could also use it for this too. Mm-hmm. But there are lots of, right here in town, there are lots of Botox studios. You know, you mm-hmm. come in for treatments and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I was actually going door to door when years ago when I was trying to, before I had this show, and I was trying to promote Computer Doctor of Tucson. I would go into a lot of these places, and some of these women walking in there, they were not old. Mm-hmm. Some of them were actually earlier than 50, maybe 30s, and sometimes even 20s.
Yeah.
And they were bringing their daughters in there while the mom was, you know, so the daughters are getting, you know, this is normal, you know, so, you know, if there's cancer involved, you both had some experiences with cancer, but you know, people do need to be careful. Just because the technology is out there doesn't necessarily mean that it's something that you should reach out and do and get involved with. But any comment on how what else people need to be careful of in your respective businesses? Like, has there ever been an incident where someone has actually gotten hurt or something terrible has happened just by happenstance of the chemicals or other things that people have actually, have you actually had experience with that?
Well, yeah, honestly, my sister's allergic to citric acid. Anything citric acid, which is a preservative in everything. She can't use any of my products, but I didn't realize that. I researched all my products. I gave her some samples. She put it on, and she ended up getting blisters on her face. Mm-hmm. I felt really bad about that. But then we went to the doctors, and he said, you get a poison ivy reaction to citric acid. And mm-hmm. even though it's not listed on the bottle, it was a very last ingredient. Mm-hmm. And I learned from that. That is on the very last ingredient of my bottles now, mm-hmm. but I did not know. But but that was the only incident I've ever had. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So far.
Mm-hmm. One belief that most people have is hair growth is done from the outside. It's exterior. But hair growth is actually our dead cells producing – that's produced by our body. So it's our metabolism at work. So that's how we get rid of everything bad. So it's hair growth is not what you put on. You can put conditioner and treatments all day long. Your hair is not going to grow. So you need a nice supplement of omega
collagen.
Those supplements actually promote hair growth. And one key tip that I usually suggest, because there's people who spend tons and tons of money of hair for products that they put on their hair at night or in the morning mm-hmm. to try to grow their hair. Just kind of a little tip for everyone. One other thing you can do is take your fingernails when you're showering and poke your scalp. Poking your scalp at night, like when you're showering, kind of gives you that tingling sensation, and it releases the tension, the stress that's built up in your scalp, and it helps release those muscles, and your hair can kind of breathe. Excuse me, your scalp can breathe and kind of grow naturally.
So, is it like a massage, or you said poke?
You can just take your fingernails and just kind of poke it on the top. Yeah. You can do it as you're sitting, right before you go to sleep. You don't have to sit there for 5-10 minutes massaging it. Hmm. But how often do you ever poke your scalp or just kind of run your nail through your, you know, your scalp? It really, it gives you that tingling sensation. Okay. So things like that. Because a lot of customers we get, since we provide hair, most of the customers that come in are looking for hair. Hmm. And they have this belief that you can put a bunch of products on your hair and it's going to help grow it. And they have a terrible metabolism. They don't eat right. They don't exercise. And they want their hair to grow. And they spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on product a month. Hopefully at WAPA. But they spend all that money on all those products. And it doesn't help their hair grow for years and years. And they just kind of give up hope. But
now, here's the next area I'd like to go on the conversation. That is cosmetology and the law. Now, when we talk about licensing and having things approved, because a lot of these products, beauty products, they have to be cleared through the FDA. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a series of things that need to have happen to them before they're released to the public. Sometimes there are even times where they're actually tested on animals. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of skincare lines that claim to not have animal testing. Now, sometimes the ones that claim to not be testing on animals actually are. So they're not the actual ones that do the testing. But the supplier that they get from, they're doing the testing so that they can say, well, we don't test on animals. So has that ever been a problem with people looking to buy product? Do they actually ask? And is that something major?
Oh, especially in Tucson. Mm-hmm. Tucson is really animal lovers. There's a lot of animal activists and so on. So that is really one of the number one things that I get asked, are your products animal tested? Absolutely not. And then going back to what the FDA approves and what you actually should be using doesn't mean a thing. Because FDA approves almost everything except for about 7 or 8 products. Mm-hmm. And the others are still very harmful. And that's where technology does come in, too, is that the minute I see anything I don't understand, I can get on the internet, which is like my fingertips are all – I mean, the whole world is at your fingertips. And I can put that item in and I can get a full-on explanation of what it does to a body and what is it good or bad or whatever. And the FDA may approve it.
Mm. Does that mean that it's safe?
No, it's not safe. No.
Wait a minute. So okay. So you have a new beauty product, face cream, or something that people put on their face. Mm-hmm. It's new. It's submitted to the FDA, and do you have to send them a sample, or you just send them the list of the ingredients or something, or how does that work?
I didn't need to do that because I know I researched the products that went into my products. I mean, the chemicals, so I never really had to do that. Okay. If someone brings me their product and said, "Do you have something like this?" and I pull up all the ingredients and look them all up, they're all approved, but they're not good for you.
If it's domestically processed or manufactured domestically, then you do need to get it FDA approved. But if it's outsourced, coming in from a different country, coming into the States, customs will hold it. That's why a lot of companies will remanufacture the same product with a different brand, because it's already customs approved and FDA approved. So large manufacturers and large cosmetic companies will take a certain lipstick or lotion, and there's only a few factories in China that manufacture lotion. So you can assume that all these companies buy it, and then they'll ship it in because there's no large manufacturer is going to want to make their own lotion and have a chance that it gets stuck at customs on the border.
Is there, okay, so if FDA is not the, just because something is approved by the FDA doesn't necessarily mean that it's safe, then is there any other testing or certification thing?
It's pretty outdated. They haven't updated their ingredients and things of that sort. So even I'm just as a retailer myself, I know that it's not, I don't want to say a joke, but it's really extremely outdated. So there's lots, there's so many other ingredients that just get overlooked, and they haven't reevaluated for that. They haven't reevaluated that in years.
I think it's up to the customer that's buying the product to look up what is, they're putting on their skin and looking to see what those ingredients do. I'm not kidding. Seriously.
Okay, so apparently the FDA is not very reliable when it comes to seeing what is safe and what is not safe. But and if there is no other, then if it's time for a revamping of the FDA to maybe be to reacquaint themselves with some of these new chemicals or new things that are out there, so that they can maybe start turning down product that may not be all that. You know, all that safe, and who's to say that there are some lobbyists that are palming out, you know, or bribing something to get through. Now, I know I have a friend of mine that helps get products through the FDA, not push them through like bribery, but there's a certain process that you need you would need to go through in order to have something, or, you know, the filing. Okay, you have to know how to submit things and how to have things you know, sent to them. So in order for that to happen, you know, sometimes you would need the help of a professional. So she does this. But the thing about it is I never knew anything about that. What the two of you were telling me about how outdated it is, and if it does require update, now becomes the responsibility of the customer or a buyer beware of these products. They can easily, you know, I guess legally protect themselves by putting that little itty bitty paragraph that you need a magnifying glass to read on those caution, you know, can, you know, deadly if ingested or whatever, you know. So, you know, where, you know, when it comes to the safety, I always thought it was a good idea for someone to make a video for every single product out there of how to use it, what not to use. I mean, how many videos, you know, how many videos are uploaded to
you? Great idea.
I'm sure that somebody out there is going to post something about how many YouTube videos are posted every single day. Why can't somebody make a video for every single product out there, the uses, the cautions, what not to do, what to do it? You know, it's not that hard. And I think that people would pay. Hey, if you want to start a Patreon page about just reading, you know, the cautions on certain products. Hey, I'd pay for that. I'd rather pay to watch a video than have to read 10 pages of little bitty, you know, itty writing on just about anything. So that's an idea for anybody that's trying to make some money. Do you guys know what Patreon is?
No.
Okay. This is where the Tucson Tech Talk computer doctor will give you some information. Patreon is a great way to have a following. So everything is becoming a following. Okay. You sell your product. When somebody buys your product, you should be putting them in some sort of database, whether their name, their phone number, or their email address. That way, when you have another product that comes out, bam, they get a text message, bam, they get a phone, they get an email. So Patreon is just another way that if you have some really, I'm sure you have your really, really big customers. Okay. It doesn't matter what you do. You can sell them hair. You can sell them makeup. You can sell them anything you want. They'll just buy anything and everything from you. Okay. And our entrepreneurial listeners know what I'm talking about. So if you ever have a customer like that, make sure you're giving them a regular feed of what you're doing, the latest things that are coming out, and they'll come back to you again. They'll buy from you over and over again. It's this old sales ploy. It's easier to sell to a current customer than to – 7 times easier to sell to someone who's bought from you before than to try to find a new customer who has never bought from you before. So Patreon is a great way. If there's somebody out there that wants to start a Patreon page that actually goes through – all like a bunch of different products and shows you all of the problems with it and all the cautions and explain what all the technical jargon is, You have a subscriber right here. I will sign up right now. But you see how all this all affects business. You know, so we have the technology, we have the chemical, we have the FDA, and I was speaking to a woman. She wasn't available. She was going out of town, so she wasn't able to make it to this show. But she was talking about how there are laws on the books that is making it legal for salons to open without licenses. So how important is it to now you mentioned that you have licensed cosmetologists in your store. Mm-hmm. So how important is it to actually have somebody licensed?
It's all about liability and responsibility. And most of our – if you're not a licensed cosmetologist, we can only give references and recommendations from our past history of our experience with the product. If you have a licensed cosmetologist, they worked hands-on on the product. You know, it's for salons to open, because there's so many gray areas within the state board and being licensed and things of that sort. And there's a few incidences here in town who kind of instigated that. I don't know if you guys knew, back in 2017 and 18, there was a specific stylist who was promoting and doing cuts outside of a licensed field. Mm-mm. And that became national news because...
Like haircuts?
He was doing haircuts. And he was doing haircuts in public areas, and that is forbidden within the state board because you're not in a controlled setting. If something goes wrong or you get a chemical in your eye or you have a reaction to something, you're not near any... They have those rules in place, so if something goes wrong, I mean, you can wash it out or do something of that sort. They're thinking about passing the law because I know the governor is still being – they're still in talks with it regarding opening salons without licenses now. And the state board has been on them, and a lot of the cosmetology schools here in Tucson and in Arizona have been fighting it. And they've been going back and forth. Hopefully it doesn't get passed because you don't want a non-licensed cosmetologist cutting or working on your hair or, you know – if they haven't taken the proper steps to working with, you know, chemical products like for aesthetics and things of that sort. Mm-hmm. At least, it's kind of weird.
But licensed cosmetologists, they need a liability policy. And maybe insurance companies wouldn't give them a policy without being licensed, I'm thinking. Well, I don't even know that part of it.
Mm-hmm. It's
They need a policy.
Well, you know, a lot of times when it comes to licensures of various different professions, there's usually you made a very good point about someone cutting hair in the great outdoors, maybe in the middle of a town square for some event or something. Mm-hmm. How that would be like a certification violation, because you're out of a controlled environment. Mm-hmm. And now that seems very reasonable to me, but a lot of times, you know, the law can be very, very. A lot of times, to me, the law makes a lot of sense. A lot of times, when you know the reasoning behind something, so when you're shopping around for makeup, like let's say you shop, you know, at your store, or they order online from Cindy, or they go to Target, or they go to Ulta, or some of these places. Now we would assume that the big box chain stores that everything is all thoroughly checked out and everything is all up to par. Is it? Or
I would say yes.
Like Marshall's or TJ Maxx or Ross, when they have discontinued and damaged. I don't know. I don't know about that.
You can get a great bargain at Marshall's and TJ Maxx. But if you, I mean, there, it's like, yeah, it's a great scavenger hunt.
It is.
But if that's your only sole place to go, I mean, then, you know, good luck. But
when they discontinue something,
That's
so
It's old. It's been on the shelf for a while, right. And then someone's kind of fondled it for a little bit. Fondled it. It's been to my store too.
Other people could have touched it.
It went to Target, to Wawa, to Marshalls.
What's the shelf life of some of these products? I don't use this stuff, so that's why I'm asking.
For our stores, lipstick 4 to 6 months. Mm-hmm. Eyeshadow 4 to 6 months. Anything that's more liquid and that can kind of harden, like foundation and liquid foundation, 2 to 3 months, and then we have to rotate it out.
It dries up faster. Mm.
Okay. And then mascara.
Do they now? Is there like an aftermarket for this stuff? Like, are there people out there that just buy out expired makeup and resell? Aren't there like makeup boxes? I saw your eyebrows go. What's that?
There's bargain shoppers everywhere. So when our inventory lights up red and says, "Hey, you got to get rid of this," and our manager says, "Hey, this is expiring in the next 6 weeks," it gets marked 75% and it goes into the bargain counter.
Okay, and that's when the people set up their tents outside for the next morning, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Go to Tanqueray Verde swap
meet. Oh,
yeah. No, I'm teasing.
Well, there's, you know, that just goes to show you. See, there's a whole science behind it. There's a whole business thing behind this, and you know, the technology and cosmetology can have an effect on us all. Even if we're not using any of these products, we do have to take reasonable precautions, because the FDA does not necessarily take the precaution for you, as we've found out today. Mm-hmm. The nice thing about that is we still have the ability to have access to the internet to research things. Mm-hmm. We are a little bit more of a responsible society because mm-hmm. we have access to the internet. And if something goes wrong, it's almost like, well, why didn't you look that up? Why didn't you do, you know? So, you know, people are now blaming, you know, the responsibility back on you. Mm-hmm. And you can't really, the idea of pointing the finger at somebody else, you know, starting to dwindle. So we have to be a little bit more responsible in the way that we do things. Some of the things that we have coming up on the Tucson Tech Talk show, we have technology and pets, technology and dental. So we're going to have some dentists and people like that. We're also going to do a show on technology and elder care. So we're going to have some future things on that. Any closing words, or do you guys have any upcoming events or sales that you would like to tell the listeners?
I don't really have any sales.
Well, we just had the biggest one. We just had Black Friday. Yeah. How did you guys do on Black Friday?
Sold out of mostly everything.
We were busy from 8 a.m. to for 12 hours straight. It was pure mayhem.
Okay. Yeah. Any upcoming shows?
For 2020, Awaba Cares Foundation will be putting on a few different events. Okay. Mainly runway fashion oriented shows. Mm-hmm. Dibble-dabbly in high-end fashion and a little bit of avant-garde. So stay tuned for that. And you can check that out on wabacares.org. Or you can check it out at wabacares on Instagram
Okay. Yeah. So we're going to post all those websites. So it's wabahairsupply.com, wabacares.com. And also visit Cindy's website, which is Ruby Ribbon. Let's see. Yeah, rubyribbon.com/Cindy O'Connell. Mm-hmm. Okay. She has other social medias. They both have social medias that we're going to be posting. We are going to please make sure that you give us all of any feedback that you have for this show. We'd like to thank all of our guests for today. If you liked any of the content you heard on the show, send us a message on the show board, or text or call us at 520-261-5508. We'd love to hear from you. Remember, the world is getting more and more tech, and so should you. My name is Aaron Moss, your host, and this has been Tucson Tech Talk, broadcasting from the Tucson Business Radio X studio on Broadway, and we wish you good technology.